my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I'm a believer, not a doubter. I'm a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Amen. I thank God for my wife tonight. Amen. The absolute love of my life. Amen. I'm going to share some testimonies tonight, but I'll just say this. I asked the Lord for a house that would make Deb smile, and God performed what I asked him to do. Amen. Amen. And we'll be married till Jesus comes. Amen. We'll be 16 years next month. Praise God. Amen. All right. On this past Sunday, Pastor James started a series on generosity and how important it is in the life of the believer. And when he began on Sunday, he put up some statistics that the word believe is seen in the Bible 272 times, the word pray 371 times, the word love 714 times, and the word give 2,161 times. Sounds like the word giving might be important to God. It far outweighs any of those other words that we see in the word. And we're going to start out with a verse that he used on Sunday, 2 Corinthians 8 and 7 in the NIV. All right, 2 Corinthians 8 and 7 in the NIV. It says, "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." Tonight's lesson is excelling in giving. We want to talk tonight about excelling in giving. And Ellen and I were talking earlier, believe it or not, that is how you spell excelling. Somehow it looks wrong. I think there's one too many L's, but we looked it up. I'm like, that is right. I kept getting autocorrect, trying to go back, and it keeps. So that is the correct way to spell it, believe it or not. I learned something today. Glory to God. So we see in this verse, Paul is telling the Corinthian church how great they were doing in all these different areas. And then he goes on to say, you also need to do great when it comes to giving. You need to put forth the same effort when it comes to giving. You're excelling in faith, you're excelling in speech, you're excelling in knowledge, you're excelling in complete earnestness, and you are excelling in love. Now apply this same excellence in the area of giving. In other words, he was basically saying, don't forget about giving. And in the lives of so many believers, it's quite similar. You might be doing great in this area and in that area, but we cannot forget about the importance of giving. We can excel in our giving just like we can excel in any other area. In order to excel in something, we need to make it a priority. Giving is to be a priority as a believer. I can remember years ago when Deb and I went to Haiti for the very first time. It was Christmas week of 2006, and we were collecting supplies and things, and by the grace of God, we raised a lot of money in a very short period of time and was able to supply Christmas to an orphanage in Haiti, actually during a time that it was quite dangerous, and we were actually advised not to go, but the Spirit of the Lord told us that we were to go. And so we had to talk to the organization that we were going through and say, listen, we understand, we won't hold you liable for anything, but we know what God said. And because we obeyed God, we met our girls, amen, and said that, you know, that set in motion an incredible supernatural experience. I don't want to get over into that part of it because I have all these other things that I want to say. But at that time, Felicia was 4 years old, our second oldest, who's now a junior in high school. She was 4 years old, and she was so excited to participate. And she was going through her things, and I'll never forget this, her cute little four-year-old face. She said, I want to help. And she's like, Dad, you can have this Barbie doll. They can have it. And the interesting thing about this Barbie doll is that one of the arms was broken. Now she's four. Okay, saying as a parent, you know, you're trying to provide instruction, but truth be told, I just wanted to fall on the floor and crack up because it was so funny because she didn't really realize what she was doing. And so I was talking to her. Of course, Deb's smiling in the background. I'm trying to be the serious parent. I'm like, now, Felicia, you know, would you like it if somebody gave you a Barbie with a missing arm? She's like, no. I said, well, that's why we don't want to give that to somebody else. And so I took that moment to instruct her at age four that when you give your best. Amen. we give our best. So we would only give something to somebody else that we would, in fact, want to receive ourselves. And this is how we excel in the grace of giving. We give God our best. And when we consistently give God our best, we are being set up to live a life of surplus and abundance. When we consistently give God our best, we are being set up to live a life of surplus and abundance. Now, I can't sing it, but I can say it. All right, that was an amazing worship song. Amen. So we confess all the time, and some of y'all probably heard this, abundance is God's will for us, and we choose not to settle for less. That's something that is embedded in my heart. I go around saying that all day, under my breath, out loud, wherever I am. But in choosing abundance, if I'm going to confess that, I'm choosing to be a giver. Right? We say giving is not a game, but it's God's plan to prosper my life. And we learned on Sunday that it is important not just that we give, but it is important how we give. How we give is very important. To excel in the grace of giving, we are to give five adjectives. Number one, we are to give joyfully. All right. Number two, we are to give selflessly. No broken arm dolls. Number three, we are to give willingly. All right. Number four, we are to give thankfully. And number five, we are to give intentionally. All right. We are to give it in that manner. And I actually texted Felicia, and you know, she's actually on a retreat yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And said, would you mind if I shared this story? It's a couple of things I want to share about you. And, you know, that's how I am as a parent. You know, I just don't go putting people's business out there, even though it's my kid, and really I can do that without permission. But out of respect, see, that's how you earn somebody's respect, is you ask, would it be all right with you if I shared this? Amen. She's like, of course, Dad. So I've got some other things, a couple other. I'm going to use her as a faith example tonight. Amen. To tell you a little bit more things that happened to her besides her cute thing that happened when she was four. All right, but giving is a matter of the heart. Giving is a matter of the heart. And according to Scripture, giving does at least three things. Number one, it reveals your heart. Number two, it advances the kingdom. And number three, it blesses you in return. I love this. Giving reveals your heart. According to Matthew 6:21, in the King James, Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Also. Amen. And we were going through some things and trying to figure out, okay, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but with buying a house, you know, it's kind of like you got to get something else new to go in the house, because if the house is new, you know, some things that are in decent shape are all right, but, you know, it's kind of like you got to upgrade, because some things don't match the outside of the house, so they got to go, because if I invite you over, I don't want you coming in and seeing some torn up piece of furniture, really thinking that I exhausted all my options on the outside of the house. But Deb was saying, you know, why don't we just keep the bed that we have, you know, but we have been wanting for the longest time this king-size bed. And I'm telling you, it's a blessing, you know, but it can be tough to get out of bed sometimes in the morning. But she was like, you know, we should just wait. And I'm like, you know, we've waited a long time. Let's do it now. Why? Because then you're going to have to take out the old bed. And the way my issues, I don't want them to scratch up the wall, get a ding over here. We might as well get the bed we want from the onset. Amen? But for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so, where your money is, there's your heart. That's what that's saying. Amen. Number two, giving advances the kingdom. In Philippians 4, the Philippian church, they give to Paul, which was support for him to preach the gospel. And number three, giving blesses you in return. I love Luke 6:38 in the NIV. It says, give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So the heart of God is that he's not trying to get something from you, but he's trying to get something to you. But in order for God to move in my life, we've been taught well, he needs my permission and he needs my participation. So giving is a choice that I make based on conviction and courage. It's important as Christians that we renew our minds to see giving the way that God does. It's difficult to obey if we have an incorrect perspective. And see, many people view giving as loss rather than gain. And that's the battle. The battle is in the mind. Many view tithes and offerings really not as a seed, but rather as a type of tax. Giving is not a tax. Giving is a seed. What is the difference between a seed and a tax? Well, a tax does not produce. However, a seed does. Because on the inside of a seed is already the ability to produce more of its kind. So if I look at giving, as I look at an IRS payment, I'm missing the mark because the IRS cannot supply all my needs. I've got to realize that this is not a tax. A seed operates a certain way. A seed goes, it grows, and it comes back with more. A tax does not do that. So when you sow a seed, you need to talk to your seed. Seed, I command you to go, I command you to grow, and I command you to come back with more. Amen? A tax cannot do what a seed can do. A tax cannot multiply because a tax is inferior to a seed. In Psalms 35 and 27, King James, it says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." I love this verse because I see God getting excited when we get blessed. God wants you happy. Amen? He's a good father. When we're blessed, it makes God happy. And see, that's foreign to many of us, particularly with the way that we came up, a doom and gloom kind of God that can't wait till we mess up to smack us upside the head with a board. That's not the God that we serve. The God that we serve is a kind, loving, and merciful God. Amen. And if you've made mistakes, the thing about God is if you go to him and ask you for forgiveness, he doesn't even see it again. You're bringing up stuff that he forgot about. Amen. And that's the thing. When you repent, you go right back in line. You don't go to the back of the line. People might put you in the back of the line, but God puts you right where you were as if that thing never even took place to start with. And that's what irritates some people who sometimes can be so judgmental because people have issues and sometimes people make mistakes. But the God that I serve is a rich God. He's an amazing God, and he's the God of a second chance. You know, Pastor James and I were talking about as we were kids and, you know, when we played basketball, and if we didn't agree with what happened, we'd say, okay, do over. I don't know if y'all, any of y'all can relate to that. We were arguing inbounds, out of bounds, you fouled me, and won, all this stuff. Forget it. We're going to start fresh. Do over. He's the God of the do over. Amen. So when we're blessed, it makes God happy. But I've got to see God like this Psalm 35 and 27 God. He has pleasure in the prosperity of you and I. So I've got to trust him with my finances. I've got to trust him with my giving because he wouldn't ask me to do something that would cause me harm because it goes against his very nature. Amen. The principle behind tithes and offerings is that God can do more for me than I can do on my own. I love this. When I give, I'm inviting God to do more for me than I can do on my own. I've got so many testimonies, I really don't even know where to start as far as testimonies go, all right? Pastor James asked me, he said, you know, stay in line with giving and share your testimonies. I'm like, which ones? All right, but I'm going to share with you a testimony on our daughter Felicia, who turned 16 on September 7th. She's about to be 16, and she's an amazing, I miss her. She's been gone, this is only her second night, but it feels like she's been gone a long time. I just love that girl. But she had a desire. All right, she had a desire to go to a Christian school, all right? And as parents, we can't get, frustrated if we can't see how that a desire that our child has is going to be fulfilled. But we can be the example of faith to them, okay? So she expressed that desire, and I was like, oh, man, I started looking up some of these tuition costs. I'm like, well, Lord, I trust you. If it's a desire of her heart, I don't know how, but I trust you because you delight. You're excited about it. You take pleasure in my prosperity and being able to do this. You know, it's not like she wanted to do something, you know, that was just fun, although God would do that too. But, I mean, God is a Christian God, so he's going to find a way to get her into a Christian school. That's God's problem, not my own. Isn't that right? So I'm searching on the internet. All right, I'm up. Wait, you know, one night I'm up, I'm praying, and I Google a few things. I see this information about this opportunity scholarship. Only problem about the opportunity scholarship in the state of North Carolina is there's a deadline. All right, and by the time I read up about it, we are 60 days past the deadline. So I'm looking at a situation that says ain't gonna happen. Okay, it's about 2 a.m. You know what I do? I apply anyway online. Because curiosity got the best of me. I'm like, well, what would happen if I filled out all the information and click submit? So I click submit and I got an email on an application that they said the deadline is 60 days past. And the email says, thank you for your application. You'll hear from us in about 30 days.
So I'm like, okay, you got to give God something to work with. God is greater than a deadline. A deadline was made by man, so therefore the heart of the king can be in the hand of the Lord and he can turn it toward me. Hallelujah. So it was like 2 a.m. I get up the next morning. I tell Deb, I said, I applied for this scholarship. I said, it's past the deadline, but I don't care. I got to give God something to work with. So I knew I was going to hear in about 30 days. All right, so that was May. Then in June, a couple of us, we went to Spiritual Encounter with the teens, had an incredible time. Didn't get a whole lot of sleep, you know, learned a few dance moves and things, not very good at, but that's okay. All right, God was in the place and people were getting filled with the Spirit, and that's all that really matters. Hallelujah. All right, and so Pastor Prashia was up one night and she starts prophesying about scholarships. I'm worshiping and she's prophesying about scholarships, and I just said, out of my mouth, I receive that in Jesus' name. Scholarships for your kids, but in my natural way of thinking, I'm thinking college. Okay? Next day, just happened to be sitting next to a young man from a church in Georgia. I forget the name of the church. Really kind young man. Had a great conversation with him. Holy Spirit says, I want you to give him some money. I want you to plant a seed. Took out a bunch of money that was in my pocket, handed it to him. I said, listen, I says, people have done this for me, and really it's just a sign that you're on God's mind. And that's it. You know, I didn't prophesy to him or try to come up with something. All this stuff I see, I didn't see nothing except you're a nice kid. This is what the Holy Spirit told me to do. Here you go. Got it? That's how we mess it up. We try to get too super spiritual, superficial, all King James on somebody. No. Here you go. Have a great day. God loves you. End of story. They don't understand that King James stuff. Come on now. All right? He starts to cry. All right? 20 minutes later, I get an email that says, your application has been approved. Your daughter is a recipient of a $4,200 scholarship. $20 in 40 minutes turned into $4,200. Hallelujah. I don't know who that's for, but maybe you're facing a deadline. Forget the deadline. Just walk by faith. God is greater than a deadline. A deadline was made by man, and we confess all the time. Policies, rules, regulations, and laws are changed and reversed on my behalf. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord takes pleasure. See, you're happy because God's taking pleasure. You see, it's not just you getting happy. It's the Spirit of God within you rejoicing over the fact that he has plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Deadlines don't matter. God is bigger than a deadline. I love that. So giving is not just something I do to stay out of trouble with God. I don't just give to check the box so I don't get in trouble with God. But no, it's part of God's plan. And so we've got to process this correctly and have the right frame of mind when it comes to giving. Amen. Four expectations of a giver. I can see right now I'm probably not going to get through all these, but that's okay. We're going to list them anyway. Number one, when I give, God gets involved. Number two, giving is not a game. That should sound awfully familiar. But it is God's plan to prosper my life. Amen. Number three, when I give, I release what's in my hand and God releases what's in his. Number four, when I give, money may leave my hand, but it does not leave my life. Amen. And so Felicia's on her retreat right now at her Christian school. Praise God. That I didn't have to pay for. God already knows what you have need of. You just see, that was a step of faith. 2 a.m. in my pajamas, that was my faith step. I see deadline, what am I going to do? Forget it, close the computer and go back to bed. No, wait a minute. God can move supernaturally. Sometimes we forget that God is supernatural. Who said you don't qualify? A person. Who says you can qualify? A person. When I give, God gets involved. Ezekiel 36 and 29 in the King James, it says, I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. I love this verse. I want you to get this. When God asks for a seed, he has a harvest in mind. Okay? When God asks for a seed, he has a harvest in mind. And unfortunately, it's so easy to trip over the seed that we forget about the harvest. See, that's where the faith test comes in. You got to have the end in sight. Amen?
All right, the seed that I sow in obedience is multiplied, returned, and keeps me out of famine and lack. And many of you know some of our testimony, or really a lot of our testimony, about how years ago, our big giving day, I believe it was around 2012, Pastor James had doubled his seed, and the Holy Spirit was talking to me about also doubling my seed, but my flesh really wasn't cooperating. You got it? Okay? Sometimes what we need to do, our flesh resists. And we have to enforce rule over our flesh and understand that our spirit man is the one who's going to dominate. Amen? And when that happens, that's the key to victory right there. All right, so God says, I will call for the corn and increase it. The sacrificial seed that we sowed, we end up doubling our seeds, our seed. It set off a chain reaction of incredible events that caused us to learn about a special government program that provided tax credits for adoption expenses. So we'd already filed our taxes for that year. We ended up filing an amended return, had to submit all kinds of paperwork. 3 months later, we got a check for $27,000. All right, we doubled our seed. You got it? And then God gave me access to information that I didn't have before. 12 months after that, I got another check for $27,000. Hallelujah. That's the God that we serve. So this all goes back to a law, okay? So God raised up Congress to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help us prosper. What are you worried about the government for? God's going to supply your need, not according to the need, but according to his government, his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So when I give, God gets involved. Number two, giving is not a game, but is God's plan to prosper my life. In Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, the King James, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I love this. Verse 10 is a result of verse 9. Barns filled with plenty is a result of honoring the Lord with my substance. So God promises that as I honor him in my giving, he causes me to increase. So see, God has never had a thought about us that did not include prosperity. He looks at us as prosperous. And so we've got to learn how to see ourselves the way that God does. Amen? Want to hear another testimony? Of course you do. I got a good one. All right. Back last December, Ellen is back in the sound booth. Ellen is my biological sister, for some of y'all who don't know that. I'm finding out, like, some people don't know that. So Ellen and I have known each other a long time. Okay? So God blessed Ellen almost 2 years ago with this brand new house. And it's like 2 years old, but you go in, you smell it, it still smells brand new. I mean, she takes great care of this house. And so I wasn't thinking anything about it. You know, I go sit on her couch in the living room. We're talking. I'm like, smelling that brand new. It still smells like that paint. You know what I mean? That paint, just that brand new, you know, just that brand new smell. And I leave, and I'm thinking about this. I'm like, God don't love her more than she loves me. God does not love my sister more than she loves me. So here I am, still with that new house smell in my nostrils. Thinking, I want to get me a new house. Shoot. If Ellen can get a new house, Pat can get a new house too. God is no respecter of persons, right? He's a respecter of faith. Ellen walked by faith. She pursued and obtained the promise, which was the object of her faith, that two-year-old house would still smell exactly brand new. Okay? So Deb and I start looking at new houses. Okay? The price of new houses has gone up. The last time we bought a house was 2012, and the market really has changed. You can ask the happy realtor who's across the street if you don't believe me. All right, shout out to Minister Joe, amen, who was our realtor. He did an incredible job to help us, amen. All right, so I saw the price of new houses and kind of, you know, went back and looked at some houses that weren't new. The Holy Spirit says to me, Pat, why are you hesitating? Why are you hesitating? You don't know if you don't pursue. And that's the key. Oftentimes in our minds, we disqualify ourselves, but what happens is you won't find out what's possible for you until you go after it. It takes faith to pursue the abundant life that God promised. And so we found an absolutely ridiculous deal. Okay, we qualify for a program which required no money down. The mortgage company reimbursed us for fees we had paid to the builder. We did all the math, and as it turns out, we bought this house with only $140 out of pocket. Oh, and our monthly payment only went up $72. So if you were to tell me now, hey, Pat, I want to sell you a brand new house. It's only going to cost you $140 out of pocket, and your monthly payment is just going to go up $72. What do you think I'd say? Of course. Absolutely. Let's do it. I didn't know that at the time. I had to pursue. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody in here needs to stop hesitating and go after your dreams. See, because hesitation is not for the giver. If you're a giver, you've got to pursue, because your giving has opened up the opportunity, but it's your faith that will grab a hold of the promise into manifestation. So there's no reason to hesitate. I said, that's a pretty ridiculous deal, $140? So we purchased a brand new house, just under 3,000 square feet, 5 bedrooms, 3.5 baths, granite in the kitchen, two-tone marble in the bathrooms, with plenty of closet space and storage. We have 5 girls, all for $140 out of pocket. What God has done for one, he will do for another. He doesn't love Ellen more than you. He doesn't love Pat more than you. He responds to your faith. I don't know what you're believing for. I don't know what you're confessing, but I know this. If you attach a seed to your faith, you can have what God promised you. Amen? So we don't need to hesitate. That's ridiculous. If you think of that, that's ridiculous. $140. That's crazy. I would have done that as a deal. Sure, absolutely. But see, I didn't know all that at the time. So it takes faith to pursue when you don't have all the information. And so you don't need all the information. You need information on the go. You'll know when you're supposed to know. All you need to do now is pursue. And that's what God wants for each one of us. Mind-boggling, ridiculous manifestations. Manifestations so incredible that people will think, man, he's lying. She's lying. I'm like, no. Giving is not a game. It's God's plan to prosper my life. I'm not lying. I've tapped into the supernatural power of God with my seed. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you today to be praying about your favor seed. Amen. You know, we heard an incredible word by Pastor Singletary that really confirmed what was in Pastor James' heart. We passed out cards. It's not about pressure. It's about opportunity. Because this is how the kingdom works. When I release what's in my hand, God releases what's in his. I want to encourage you to pray. If you're married, make sure you and your spouse are in agreement. And then give your best and expect God to move. Because what he has done for one, he will do for another. Amen. We're going to close with 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. Verses 6 through 9, exactly. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. I want to excel in my giving. How about you? Amen. I'm done. Would you stand to your feet? Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah.